Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's up, guys? It's your boy, Dylan. I'm here to talk about, once again, betonline.ag. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season, everything from NFL and bowl season to esports. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. They're the fastest and easiest way for all your betting needs for all your favorite leagues and events. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Just make sure you use our promo code BELIEVE, that is capital letters B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. One more time, that is capital letters B-L-E-A-V, BetOnline, where the game starts.
But you know what it feels like.
Sure. Let's go.
You have Chelsea. She's a baby. Don't tell her I said that.
She'll kick your butt.
I know. That's what I said. Don't tell her I said that.
All right. And welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Top of Thunder podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Hunsinger, at Thunder Chats. We're part of the Believe Network, and this podcast is brought to you by betonline.ag. Now that that is out of the way, this is episode 420. So, you know, we was expecting, you know, before I introduced my co-host, we was expecting to come in here, coming off a huge W, off a huge win streak, being 500, being the sixth seed, and, you know, just making weed jokes all over the place. But we had a little bit different experience. So it's going to be a little bit different than what we planned, but we're here still here to provide you guys with the podcast. So you heard his agreeing mm-hmm in the background. It's the one, the only Mr. Playback himself, Connor. What up, Con?
Not much, man. Thunder basketball has been really fun recently. It's cool to have like a game like tonight where it felt like such a big deal again. You know, we've had like games where I'm like, oh, I really want to win this one. But this is one where I was like, I want to win this one so bad. And it has like implications and stuff like that. It's just cool to be kind of back to somewhat competitive hoops that really get like the blood pressure going a lot too. So, you know, it's nice to see. And I think it shows how far this team has come. Like you said, the loss isn't the most fun thing in the world, but it has been really fun recently watching the team. So, you know, despite the loss, we'll take it.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll definitely talk all about that game. You know, as we get into the pod, but first I got to introduce my other co-host who is probably as tired as me. We got Champagne Jerry in the building. What up, Jerry?
I hate Tony Brothers. That's it. That's all I got to say.
You hate both of them? Both the brothers?
Just whatever the hell his name is, I hate him.
The brothers, Tony.
Yeah, I'm just so mad right now still about it. Like, I just got done looking at the free throws even more right now, and I'm just like... but I'm here. Yes, I'm here. I'm ready to be drinking champagne with my boys next week. So I can't wait. God, I can't wait.
I'm ready to be indulging in Dr. Pepper while you drink champagne next week.
And being the DD. I can't wait.
Yeah, Yeah.
No, Dylan, turn here. Turn here. Where? Right here. Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be such a blast.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't sound stressful for me at all.
No, it'll be easy. No worries, mate. No worries.
All right, boys. Well, hey, you know, as we mentioned, the Thunder played a basketball game tonight against the Kings. It ended closer than what the game really was, especially in the second half. It was 118 to 113. I mean, guys, we can go see a large item, but we can just talk about the game as a whole because, like, there was some good things that happened in this game, but there was a lot of bad. So I'm gonna let Cone go first here. Cone, what's first thing you want to talk about here?
I don't know. I guess I'll just talk about Shea to start things off. I'll be the positive one. Shea All is right. unbelievable. It's just incredible the way that, like, I watched the entire game in depth. Like you said, I was streaming it on playback, like watching it live with people. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, he has 37 points. Like, it felt like it came out of nowhere almost. And something I was talking about on the stream is that it's cool to have a player like Shea now where he was shooting 50% at half and it felt like he was having like a bad half by his standards. Like, if he's at 50 or below shooting, it really feels like, wow, Shea's missing a lot tonight, which is just, it just goes to show how good he is at this point and how effective he is. His ability to just create space out of nowhere is unreal. He can, like, he'll pick up his dribble and he'll just throw up a couple shot fakes that kind of like nudge into the defender a little bit, bounce off of them, and just get a look almost every single time. He's just incredible. And it's really fun to once again see a superstar caliber player like Shea for the franchise. And he should have gotten a lot more free throws tonight. There were a lot of mid-range jumpers where he got knocked down, a lot of guys in his landing space, but I guess you can't get them all. You're not going to get them every single night. So it was just impressive the way he was able to play through that. Like I said, insane amount of mid-range jumpers. He had a standing dunk on Chimezie Metu as well, just out of nowhere, like no load up or whatsoever. He's just like, I'm going to dunk on this seven-footer. And yes, yeah, just overall, just great stuff from Shea. Just continuing to be the player that we've come to know him as, so.
Bro, we got to see the full bag tonight from Shea offensively. Like,
yeah,
he was like, especially in the third quarter, like he was literally unguardable. You know, he had that dunk like you talked about. He had obviously some crazy finishes at the rim, but what he was doing against this competition in the mid range, I mean, turn around, fade away, you know, snatch back dribble with the pull up, like. It was nasty. It was absolutely disgusting what he was doing.
You realize that they put four different guys on him in the third. Like, they tried to switch everybody and their dog on him, and he was still like, yeah, whatever. Because they had Davion, Darren, Harrison, and then for some reason they kept on switching that Metu. Is that his name?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Chimezie Metu.
Yeah, don't even know who he is. So I don't care either. But yeah, like they just couldn't stop him, and he was still getting it just wherever the hell he wanted to, which is just amazing. 37 with four free throws. What the hell?
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Metu the guy that got in a fight with Eugene in Summer League a couple years ago?
That might have been Metu. Might have been Matthew. I'll fact check that.
All right, got you. I'm gonna keep raving about Shea because I wanna talk about something happy for a little bit. You know, as I was talking about, like, you know, the mid range, obviously, like it was going. But his three was falling tonight. You know, yeah. Obviously he took more threes than usual. You know, he took three. I think his average is around like 2.3, 2.5, something like that at this point. And he made two of them. A couple of them were just like nasty step back variety. Ironically, the one he missed was off of a catch and shoot. But the thing that stood out to me, man, is Shea led the team in assists with seven, but he had zero turnovers. Adding on to that, he had two steals, so getting it done defensively. And I mean, 37 points, man. You know, like you were saying, Conway, 37 points on just making three free throws is ridiculous. So, yeah,
he really had the step back three going tonight too. He knocked down a couple of them. And also shout out to De'Aaron Fox real quick, because the step back three he had to end the third was very nasty with Lou Dort there on him. That was a huge shot for them with the Thunder kind of swinging the momentum a bit. So he took a page out of Shea's book.
Yeah, I was talking to Jerry before we started, and the way that they were just like not giving Shea the respect he deserves on calls, like I know, like, Shea probably gets fouled every time he drives, like, just because, like, he drives so frequently and he, like, lives in the paint. And I know that you're not going to get a foul call every time you go in, but there was a couple of plays tonight that, like, there was one where he completely broke Davion Mitchell off on a crazy snatchback mid-range and created so much space. But as he was pulling up, Mitchell, like, literally charged him and, like, tackled him, and there was no call. And, you know, it's like I said on the podcast where we talked about the Heat game. Like, I'm not one to blame the refs for a loss. I just ask that if you're going to call the game one way on one side, call it the same way on the other side, because there were so many ticky-tack fouls, specifically on Domantas Sabonis, that was getting called. And, you know, you have Shea getting tackled, like I was saying. Like, I told Jerry, like, I was legitimately worried Shea was going to end up hurting this game because, like, he hit the deck pretty hard a few times.
It did feel like there were multiple times where I was worried he was going to, like, twist an ankle or something like that. Like, I was having a lot of really scary moments. So, yeah, I
could that trip that he almost had, that one scared me. And then I was telling Dylan that one where he slid across the floor for, like, 12 feet, you know, there in the fourth quarter scared the hell out of me, too. It's just like, I think I'm just really scared of injuries right now. I'm just really, really scared of him. I want him to make this push to All-Star break. I want us to be able to continue to stay on this ride. And we know the ride's over if he gets hurt for a good stretch of games. So,
yeah. I think something also, like, while you're talking about Domantas Sabonis, is just it showed how, like, how much we need a guy like Chet on the team and how much he's going to change things. There were so many offensive rebounds, or, you know, guys, like, kind of grabbing Sabonis, or there were also a few where he really didn't get grabbed. Like, the one at the end of the game, he kind of grabbed J-Dub's arm first, and then he got fouled. But it just shows how much we need a guy like him, someone that can be physical down low, just has the length to go up and get there and be a force down low blocking shots, because, you know, we played Moose at some points. We played J-Will, but neither of them are, like, super imposing rim protectors. So having a guy like a Chet is going to make the world of difference, because I tweet about the game and so many people are like, we need a center, like, we need a rebounder, a shot blocker. And I'm like, we have all of that in Chet. He just got hurt before the season. So,
yep.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of, you know, switching gears, like, talking about that. I mean, we could still, like, talk about the game, obviously, like, that happened and that was important. But I think this game specifically, more than any in recent memory, really highlighted how much not having, like, any type of semblance of a real big man is hurting us out there. Like, you know, like we said, but J-Will, like, I thought J-Will did an admirable job on Domantas Sabonis for the most part.
He did.
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, the dude's an all-star. Like, he's going to get his one way or another, but I thought he did, you know, do well in spots. But specifically at the end of the game, when we're, like, when we're pushing, we're trying to, you know, we're getting stops, but we can't secure the rebound in order to give ourselves a chance to score on the other end to, like, fight back. Like, I don't know. How do you guys feel about it? Do you think, like, this is something we just let it ride and wait, like, we got Chet waiting in the wings this year? Or do you think that, you know, the organization wants this team to have a legitimate shot at the play-in playoffs? And I'm not saying, like, you know, like I said the last podcast, like, I'm not saying, like, you know, you bring in somebody you want to have long-term necessarily. Like, obviously you want long-term prospects, but how do you guys feel about bringing in somebody just to be like a stopgap there and as a big man?
I'm going to say no. And the reason why is because we've proven over a bunch of games against very good bigs, one's better than Sabonis, like an Embiid, and, you know, playing way bigger teams than us, like in the Nets. Granted, you know, Kevin Durant not playing really impacted that game, but, you know, we've proven that we can play this type of ball. And this type of ball, if you look at it in some of the models that you've seen, especially and specifically the Warriors, all right, like, if you're making shots and you're able to get those boards, you can close that gap up very, very, very quickly and allow yourself to win games, right? That's kind of what happened over the last, what were we on, a four-game winning streak prior to this? That's what kind of happened during that, right? We had Miles Turner, who's an excellent rebounder. You know what I mean? Excellent rim protector. And we're able to just kill him all game. Did the same thing with Embiid. So I don't think that you pull the lever right now in that situation, considering that over the next two drafts, especially not this year's, but next year's, like, we're going to unload some of these picks, you know what I mean? And fill out the rest of this roster. We're just going to have to at some point, or maybe this summer we do that. I just don't want to do it too prematurely, especially with a guy like Chet on the bench injured. And I just believe in this model. I think it can still win. I mean, you didn't, were we 23 and 25 now? Is that where we're at right now? As far
22
as
and 24.
Okay. Thank you. So, you know, you don't win 22 games. And if you look at our 24 losses, a big chunk of those were, you know, 5 points or less, you know, where they were coming down to the last shot or the last couple of shots. And you'd be surprised how many games we've won the rebounding battle on too. Mm-hmm. We've won the rebounding battle a lot this year. But not even like just a few. There's been a few games where it's been double digits up and over. So with my professional and expert opinion, no, you don't pull the lever just yet. You just kind of ride this one out.
I think if you can bring in, yeah, I don't like the idea of bringing in just like a guy for the moment. If you can bring in a guy that you think works long-term or like for the next few seasons, like I know Mo Bamba is an example people always go to, but say you look at like, just like a young center that just could theoretically make sense to have on this roster going forward to the future. Sure. If there's like a guy that's out there cheap, I don't see why not. You bring someone in, worst case, you get someone that at least have like a couple of years of team control. You don't want like a one and done type guy, mm-hmm. but say you bring in a young, like big man type player, just someone who can grab some boards and stuff like that. Sure. I don't see why not just bring somebody in to kind of be a body. And as long as they're going to be someone that can be here beyond this season too, I think that's perfectly fine. So it would also, of course, you know, it depends what the player is in particular and what the compensation looks like. Yeah. And we always talk about like Bazley in a second or something like that, because Baze didn't play a single minute in this game. Also no Aaron Wiggins in this one, which I was kind of surprised about that we didn't see any Wigs out there. But yeah, so I think that if say you like Bazley in a second or a couple seconds gets you a decent young big who can just kind of fill in and be a piece for the foreseeable future, or if even if you get to like the off season and you decide, hey, we don't really need him anymore, sure, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, to your point, I don't believe this organization is not tanking as long as they continue to not start Aaron Wiggins. Like, I mean, it's proven that if you start Aaron Wiggins, you're going to win basketball games.
Undefeated.
So, I mean, you know, if we were serious about winning tonight, you know, should have started a little Aaron Wiggins. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I just it's definitely overreaction theater with me on that. But, like, tonight, like I said, it just felt really glaring, specifically at the end. Like, each rebound more bat-breaking than the other. But there were some other things that led to us, you know, not being in position to, or I mean, we was in position to win, but not being able to, you know, put it all together for the win tonight. Let's do this. Let's do a segment, and we're gonna call it
Tony Brothers Sucks Butt.
It's a very specific segment that we can confirmed? Only do every few games.
Sorry. I'm not going to be able to let go of the free throw disparity tonight off a 20-17 fouls, like for both teams. Like I can't get over that. Cannot. Like if you just take away and like even out our free throws, we probably win this game like easily. Granted. Yeah. We missed a few at the end. Who? Kenny missed two. Shea missed one. Anyone else miss any?
I don't believe so.
We posted at the same time. Jalen Williams missed one early.
Okay. Yeah, but I look at that and I'm sorry. I'm just I'll be hot about that for a little bit, just because I think that's, to me, that takes the pace out of one team and allows another team to kind of get that advantage. And if you look at the third quarter scoring, that's where like at least 15 of their points came from out of the 32, mm-hmm. maybe like 12. It was high though.
Real quick. What do y'all know Cambridge Williams free throw percentage on the season?
It's under 50, right?
I want you to take a guess as to what it is.
I think it's like 41%.
I'm gonna say 44.7.
42.9% right now. Dang. So
that's ridiculous.
It's weird because he's still shooting like 40% from three on the season or around that. And I just don't get it, man. Like we've needed him in a couple spots to hit some free throws. And I love Kenny, like regardless of the free throw issues and stuff like that, still very valuable to have as a player on the team. But it's just so weird that that's like such a big problem for him. Because early in the season, he was shooting like 60%, which is bad. But, you know, it's like you can live with that, I guess.
Yeah.
You want to see it be like 70 or at least or something like that. But 43 is absurd. That's probably like the second lowest in the league, I think, next to like Steven Adams.
Yeah. That's worse than Andre Robertson.
Yeah. Hey, Kenny, if you're listening, you might want to start shooting it one handed like that one guy.
Jeremy Sohan.
Yeah. There you go. You might shoot
a granny shot like freaking Rick Barry, dude.
Do something different, brother. Do something different. I don't know what it is, but do something different.
Yeah, then you could be the guy that shoots free throws like with the granny shot, and you know people like you for it. But yeah, I mean, let's talk about man. I mean, Kenny, he was he filled up stat sheet a little bit. He had 3.6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 of 8 shooting, 1 of 6 from deep, 0 of 2 from the stripe, like we mentioned. And there was one sequence where we got like Giddy specifically got multiple offensive rebounds.
Yep.
And I think Kenrich missed 3 3 pointers in a row.
Yep.
Yeah. It was rough, man, because I expect Kenny to knock those down. Like he had that one pretty deep contested one earlier in the game that it felt like I was like, oh, okay. Like he's kind of got it tonight if he's knocking a shot down like that. But yeah, there was like a mid-range jumper I remember that he missed that I didn't love the shot attempt, but he's hit those before, so I was cool with it. Like you said, he had like 2 or 3 open threes in a row that he just kept missing the free throws. It just wasn't really his night. And so I was kind of surprised that he was still like the guy that we went to at the end there instead of like a Jay Will or a Moose or, you know, even if it like an Aaron Wiggins could have come in and had like a spot minute or something like that. So.
Well, Moose shot just as bad too.
Yeah, that's also true. Yeah,
Moose struggled. I think he only made that one corner three. Or was it the one from – no, he made
– no, he made the corner, two. Yeah.
Did he make one from the top of the key too there at the end?
No, he just had the corner three.
Okay. And I'm blaming his dad for that one because he said, oh, the Kings are lucky, you know, in half, going to half or maybe in the third quarter. It was like the Kings are lucky that Moose is in a slump. And I'm like, gosh dang it. And I just asked Daddy Muscala to never say the word slump again
during
a game. So, and he said that he agreed to it. So, we just didn't have that shooting in that third quarter. Usually we win those third quarters by a pretty healthy margin. I think we were negative, like at least 7, maybe more than that.
10. We were outscored by 10 in the third quarter, which is crazy because we were up like 6 at halftime, I think.
Yeah, it was 6.
7. Up 7.
So we're up 7 at halftime. Yep. And the third quarter is usually when we extend our lead. So I was like, we're in a really good spot. And we just got kind of killed in that quarter. We just couldn't really seem to, despite Shea going off, we just couldn't get stops consistently.
Well, it wasn't even that, too. Yeah, it wasn't even that, though, also. Like, if you looked at, like, most of our possessions, we weren't doing anything on the interior. You know what I mean? I think we only had maybe 5 or 6 possessions, outside of Shea, that went to the rim. Or had any action down towards the rim. Everybody was just kind of just standing on the outside trying to clear it out. And, the Kings played a good game plan and just like, hey, let them shoot it. Like, screw it. I mean, what's the worst we can lose here? So, that's where I was really disappointed at tonight in us not continuing to do what we know that wins games, which is going downhill. So, stupid Tony Brothers.
Every chance you get, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, just talking about it, man. I mean, like three-pointers, I think we made 12 threes in the first half.
We did.
And we were shooting like 50%, so I think it was 12-24. So we made 4 of our next 16. Into the game shooting 40% from three, so like, you know, respectable percentage, but like the far cry that it was from the first to the second half was like was wild, man. Like Lindy missed his only 3-point attempt in which he thought he was Steph Curry in a dribble pull up in the fast break.
Immediately when Mike Brown called a timeout right after that, and he was Lindy was immediately benched.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm gonna see you out, bro.
I was. Well, wait.
Good.
I was gonna say what kills me on this though, like we still won for as bad as it seemed, we still won the points in the paint battle too. 50-44 against them.
Yeah.
And you know, like, what the hell are you doing, Libby? Shooting it like that, even though it was really nice of you to take a picture with me on my birthday.
That's what I'm saying, man. But there's just a better shot to be had by just like pull it back out and, you know, set up the offense, and you'll probably get a cleaner look from three.
Yeah. One, it was a 1-on-3, and you're like, all right, 6 feet off the line. Yak him. Let me just toss it up there real quick. Looking like me at the half court contest next week.
He didn't even like set his feet. Like his feet was like, they were like scissor stance. Like it was just so ugly. Like,
yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible, man.
Trey, man, yeah, they both played about 7 minutes. Trey had a really nice move inside. I actually think his other move was really nice. He just missed the shot. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, he didn't contribute much to this when he had 2 points. You know, we talked about Moose. Obviously, he made the corner three, missed all of his above the break threes, which is really where like he gets his bread and butter. You know, we've talked about, you know, bad shooters. I mean, let's talk about the greatest free agent signing the Thunder.
I was going to say, we need to talk about Isaiah Joe. I had so many Kings fans that I saw my timeline that were like, I never want to see Isaiah Joe again, because it's just, I don't think it's a stretch to say he's one of the better shooters in the league this season. Like, you know, he's shooting mm-hmm. over 4 attempts per game. After this one, his 3-point percentage probably even went up from like 44. It went up from 44.4, I think, is what he was at originally. I'll go ahead and check it real quick. But yeah, it's just been, it's absurd that we were able to get him for nothing, just like as a free agent signing. He legitimately is the best free agent signing we have ever had. And that's not even, I don't even think there's much of a debate there with who else it is, but with the amount of value that he brings to this team. And I saw, I think it was a post from Thunder Focus, but it was like comparing Isaiah Joe's minutes, like as they scaled up over the course of this season to our 3-point percentage as a team. It's like, so like clearly like correlated, because not only Joe shoots well, but he also like just provides so much spacing for the team. Additionally, it's just amazing to see. I, you know, my brother's a Philly fan. He said multiple times, like, I can't believe we gave up Isaiah Joe. I can't believe the Sixers gave up Isaiah Joe for basically nothing. Well, literally nothing. So,
yeah. No, he's killing the game right now. Like, absolutely just killing the game. And it's amazing to me how teams, like, how many games has he done this? At least a dozen by now, right? Where he's just went completely off or just shot at a very high clip. And it's like nobody reads their scouting report with him for like the first 3 quarters, and then finally they wake up in the fourth quarter and start guarding him. Because was he like
7 for 7-13?
No, that's what he finished with. But I think, or he was like 6 of like 8 at one point, if I'm remembering right, because he missed a whole bunch there at the end.
He did.
But he rattled off like 3 in a row there in the second quarter, I believe is when it was. Or like made 3 consecutively whenever he shot it. I just love me some Isaiah. I think that if he can hone in his defense just a little bit better, and you know, some of those easy little things, God, yeah. What a value. What a value.
45.4% on the year, and he is 4th in the league in terms of 3-point shooting percentage behind Luke Kennard, KCP, and Damian Lee.
How many does he have this, like, way less attempts?
He has 4.3 attempts. He's actually right around the ballpark as all of them. Damian Lee is 3.8, KCP is 4.4, and Luke Kennard is 4 a game.
The elite shooters in the league only.
Yeah, what a list.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's been crazy, man. Back-to-back games of 7-12, or at least 7-12 3-point attempts. I mean, he was insane. I mean, single-handedly almost brought us back in this game offensively. Mm-hmm. Like, defensively, like, you know, guys were flying all over the court trying to get that, you know, that last turnover to, you know, push us over the edge. And he missed a couple, too. Like, I'd be remiss to say that, you know, he did miss a couple of those shots that, you know, really could have brought us back. But, you know, he made one to cut it to 3 with like 6 seconds left. And I mean, you know, he caused Kevin Huerter to step out of bounds after that three on the steal. Like, Isaiah Joe almost did it again. We almost had a flashback to the Dallas game.
Yep.
But yeah, man, I mean, he's been absolutely insane. And I just love him, man. And I apologize for ever suggesting that he tricked us.
Yeah. No, never. Isaiah Joe would never do that, Dylan.
Oh, yeah.
He's too kind.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention is he actually tied for the second in rebounds for the team tonight with 6. I was really impressed with his work on the glass. Like, he was mixing up with those guys. So,
yeah.
Shout out Isaiah Joe. All right, let's talk about Jalen Williams here. So, like, you know, his stat line doesn't look bad, like 13 points, 2 assists, 1 rebound. It's bad if you picked his over prize pick for assists and rebounds, which was 7.5, and he got 3, but that's besides the point. 5-9 shooting, 1-3 from deep, hit both of his free throw attempts. The thing with me, and, you know, I kind of talked with Jerry about this before we started, like, He was a big part of what we were doing early in the first quarter, and it felt like he just kind of disappeared until like the beginning of the fourth. I think he rattled off like 4 or 5 straight points, and that was kind of all we heard from him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it did feel like he kind of faded into the background a little bit, and I think that is still part of what this team's trying to figure out is how often do you go to, like, you know, Shea take over, and how often do you go to, like, you know, feed, like see how many shots all these different people can get and, like, kind of move the ball a little bit. Of course, you know, Shea also operates within the flow of the offense. He's not like a ball stop or anything like that. But I do think there is kind of, we're still trying to figure out what that kind of share looks like on this team, because I mean, I think we've done a good job of doing that. And we really did need Shea to take over tonight, because it felt like I think it was Dolan actually who tweeted this out. It felt like we were watching like a young team tonight, like the second youngest team in NBA history. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of passes at the end, like at the end in the fourth quarter. There was one that I thought was hilarious when Jay Will got it and Dort was in the corner, and he like reared back. He threw like the hardest, like the fastest pass I've ever seen in my entire life. He like put all of his force into that straight into the dirt, like under Dort's legs. It was so funny. That one had me cracking up. But it was like things like that. It felt like guys were just fumbling their handle. The passes were all off. It just felt like it was a young team playing in, like, and I know Gold One Center, where the Kings play, has been one of the best fan environments this entire season, mm-hmm. according to a lot of people. And whenever I watch a Kings game, like, they are packed in there. So it might've gotten to them a little bit. Like, they might've kind of felt the spotlight in that moment of like, oh my gosh, like, this is a big game for us. And I think we did see kind of some of those young moment. So I wonder if that also affected, you know, how like J-Dub played or some of these other guys performed. I don't know. J-Dub also had that one layup where he switched hands. I was stunned he missed that. Like, the second he went up with that, I'm like, oh, great take, Jay. And then he missed it. I was like, how did he, because he never misses those. So I was shocked. And then at the end of the game, he had that one crazy layup that like went like up and under.
The exact like, same one. But
yeah. So, I don't know.
No, I think we're all just really spoiled with him right now, because he should have been having more of this happening more often, right? Especially coming in and being a rookie and everything. And he's just been playing so hot for what, like the last 10 games, it feels like, where he's been just head and shoulders, probably way above than where he should be at. And credit to the Kings, man. Like, that's one of his downfalls, is that he gets stuck in the air sometimes and he jumps a little bit too early. And they definitely schemed up for that. You know what I mean? Where they were having to force him in some really precarious positions, and they're forcing him to some weird switches too. I mean, he had 5 personal fouls tonight. Mm-hmm. I don't think he ever really gets even close to 5 most games. And I could just be completely wrong about that, but it just doesn't feel like he has a lot. But it seemed like every other damn possession he was getting a foul called on him for something. So I think that this is, you know, I just saw a tweet from the Thunder where Mark Daigneault, however the hell you say it, said something along the lines, you know, there's no better way for this team to learn to grow than to be stress tested like we were tonight, right? And it definitely showed with the young guys. You know what I mean? That stress test definitely showed up. For sure. I think Trey got pulled so early is because he couldn't guard anything. You know what I mean? Like, everybody was getting around him. Everybody was getting a shot up over him. You know, you look at J-Dub, you know, in his kind of struggles. You look at Jay Will, you know what I mean? He had some, like, probably easy looks and just completely, you know, missed him. We just been spoiled lately. Like, I'm starting to, like, calm down a little bit and, like, come back to reality in the sense of this. And we had a hell of a run against some really great teams. And we just have to chalk it up and say, hey, like, this is the third team in the Western Conference right now that we play tonight. And they've been battle-tested and proven so far this season. Credit to them and credit to Tony Brothers for giving them such a big free throw disparity tonight.
I thought for a second we were going to hear you give credit to the Kings, but
no. Credit to them though too. I mean, their rebounding is what keeps them in games. I think they're ranked like at least top 10 in rebounds a game, mostly due to Sabonis and
NBA's leading rebounder.
Yeah. I didn't even know that. So that's even more impressive. So, You just look at that, and you know me. I say two things win games: rebounds and free throws. Those two things will win you more ball games at the NBA level than anything else.
We were lacking both.
Say what?
So we were lacking both tonight.
Most definitely, we were.
Those are going to be our fundamentals in the Thunder Media Basketball Tournament.
Yes,
we won't be playing free throws, but we will make. I was about to say.
Yep, we know we're going to have all of our broccoli during that. No Skittles, all broccoli.
I don't eat broccoli or Skittles, so I'm good.
Yeah, you eat chicken tenders without any dipping sauce. So
Dylan, I'll eat three servings of broccoli and Skittles before the game to eat as much for you as is necessary.
Let's go, man. That's what's up.
I'm gonna throw up on the court.
I need to pull up this stat sheet. One of the other things I want to talk about, it might be the kind of last thing I wanted to talk about this, is, you know, much like Jalen Williams, Giddy didn't have like a terrible game stat-wise, 15, 10, and 5, like still a great game for a second-year player. Definitely kept us in it with some of those rebounds down the stretch.
Huge.
7 of 13 shooting, 1 of 4 from 3, and, you know, I kind of brought this up in our chat the other day. In Giddy's last six games now, he's shooting 20% from three. So I know that he went through that hot stretch since the beginning of December, but he's starting to come back down to earth now. I'm not saying this is who he is, but I'm saying, you know, to borrow a word from Bob Muscala, Giddy's in a little bit of a slump shooting-wise. And not only that, you know, he also, you know, you was talking, Jerry, about some of the mistakes that Trey was making defensively. Giddy made a couple really quick mistakes early defensively. I think it was Huerter got him on a 45 cut, like just left him in the dust.
Yep.
There was another one where it's supposed to be a switch off, and Giddy just made no attempt to switch back to the guy. He got an easy look down low, like, you know. And it is important to note, like, the context that you brought up, Cone, the tweet that Dolan brought up, like, it's a really young team. Like, as mature as Giddy is and as good as we've seen him be, like, he's still a second-year player. He's 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And this team, not only are they, like, the second-youngest team in league history, they're the youngest team right now in the four major sports, like, as an average. Mm-hmm. I saw a graphic about that the other day. Like, that blew my mind. And it's ironic because, you know, I was thinking while the game was happening, like, it felt like we went to our early season offense in this game. It felt like we went to – you didn't see guys, you know, kind of moving off each other, you know, feeling out where they're going to be. You didn't see really like the Shea Giddy two-man combo that has been working so well these like last 10 games. You saw guys that were shell-shocked, couldn't make a shot, couldn't get to the rim, gave the ball to Shea and said, go do something because – it's not working for us. Yep. And what's great about it is Shea is good enough that he's going to go do something and he can keep you in these games and you might win a couple of these games, but it's not sustainable. So
yeah,
we just got to, you know,
well,
take this one on the chin and, you know, be ready for the next game.
Well, staying on the Giddy thing, right? Like, his minutes seemed way down. He only played 29 tonight, and he averages, what, like 33 a game, give or take, 32 a game? And he didn't come in sooner in that fourth quarter because he usually comes in, what, between mm-hmm. the 6 and the 5 minute mark, and he finally got in on the other side of the 4 minute mark. So, like, I don't know what was going on with that, if it was more of a defensive-minded type of situation where coach was just wanting to try to get some stops and rattle those together and give the ball to Shea. But, yeah, we just – it was just a piss-poor display of good rebounding. And, I mean, hell, the Kings made a bunch of tough shots tonight, though, too. Good Lord, they made a bunch of tough, mm-hmm. tough shots. And they also had some really – like, I think all of Keegan Murray's there in the fourth were – uncontested. Maybe one of them was. The rest of them were just wide freaking open because of just bad defensive rotations. There was one where it was Isaiah Joe and I think Dort, and they both got pretty much like crisscrossed and no one ran out on. He was on the right wing and just drained it. So yeah, I just hate you, Tony Brothers, so much. And
it all comes back.
Oh, he better hope he's not reffing that Cavs game, because
I wonder if I can check that.
Yeah, if he's there, we're going to the Omni.
Oh my god,
we're going to the Omni post game, and I'm definitely going to find them at that sports bar because I have a feeling that's where they all go after the games.
I didn't even consider that as a possibility.
They're not posted until 9 a.m. the day.
All right, we'll find out. So. Hey, Friday night, we don't have plans yet at post game. But let me tell you, if Tony Brothers is there, I might make a shirt with Sharpie on a white t-shirt that says Tony Brothers and wear it around. So
probably won't be the first time he's seen that, I feel like.
Oh, probably not. He probably doesn't even care, though.
He's desensitized to it.
Yeah, but yeah, tough game. I think we're just spoiled, though.
We definitely are. Yeah, it's so crazy to think about how close this team is when they're the second youngest team in NBA history. And we keep saying that stat, but I think it really does. It just says a lot about how far ahead of schedule this team is without the second overall pick in this past year's draft. That is a perfect fit for everything we do. So it'll be really nice next season. I also want to give a quick shout out to Lou Dort, who's shooting 41.5% from three over his last 20 games. So shout out to Lou Dort.
Yeah, he was really not. Yeah,
he was really good in the first quarter. I think he hit like three threes. He was amazing. Kind of disappeared a little bit down the stretch. Once again, you know, it just kind of felt like a few guys faded away. He ended up fouling out at the end too, which that last foul was
questionable.
Yeah, it was a foul on Dort, but there was the J-Dub foul beforehand where
that's what I said. Grabbed
his arm, so.
Yeah, I literally told Dylan that before. I was just like, how in the heck are you going to call a foul there but not with Sabonis literally hooking him to where he couldn't have fair position there? Yeah. And, you know, some of Lou's disappearance, like, was in the third quarter if you look at it. And he was trying to get to the rim. Like, mm-hmm. no one else was trying. And he was just like, well, screw it. I'm going to get down there then if no one else wants to. And I think he missed, like, three or four layups in a row.
He did miss a couple bunnies.
Yeah, but he – or just, like, really tough contest. But, yeah, his three-point shooting has just been amazing lately. And credit to Chip. We love you, man. We hope you're doing well. Because I know you're listening, but –
Was it Dort that got blocked on his dunk attempt that led to the three Kenrich threes?
He just missed the dunk. He just kind of slammed it off back rim, which was unfortunate because he was rumbling down the lane. Like, he had a wide open dunk.
Yeah.
It happens. But yeah, I mean, it was a fun game. Like we keep saying, we're spoiled at this point because this was supposed to be another year where we don't make the playoffs. And there still is a shot that we don't. But the fact that we're even in this conversation at the moment with what we've got going on right now, and, you know, the world is starting to take notice of the Thunder. A lot of national media outlets are talking about us. So it's just cool to see that this team's kind of getting back to it. We're feeling competitive hoops again. And I'm really excited now, like, way more or just, like the closer we get to the meetup that we're doing in like less than a week now, it's just really exciting just how good this team is. We're going to get to see them play some cool competition too against the Cavs and then the Warriors, which turns into, because of the standings, a pretty important game for trying to make the play-in tournament or at least catching up to some of these squads. So I'll be there at the Warriors game. So I'm excited for that one. And yeah, but the Cavs one should be fun. Seeing Donovan Mitchell go up against Shea, hopefully. I know he suffered a groin injury. He didn't play tonight. So hopefully he's good to go by the time that game rolls around. I would imagine that he is. But yeah, excited for that one.
Absolutely, man. It's going to be a blast. And, you know, it's funny. Like, we're sitting here, like, at least me. Like, I'm sitting here bellyaching about tonight's loss. But we could go to Denver on Sunday and shock the world again. And yeah, I mean, we'll be riding the high again, talking about how we're going to be in the playoffs and not the play in, and, you know, it just start the cycle all over again. I mean, that's this Thunder team, but it is important to note, Usman Jang has been assigned to the Oklahoma City Blues. So sounds like he's ramping up for a return. So, come on, Ooze, we need you, man. The Jang Gang needs you.
No, I'm ready for that Poku tweet. I don't care who you are. I want Poku back so bad right now. Imagine Poku playing Jalen's or Jay Will's minutes tonight. I think it'd be better.
Theoretically, but I mean, dude, I don't know. He's got a broke leg, right?
It's like a minor fracture. I literally like went down like the doctor rabbit hole after it came out and it doesn't need surgery. So it kind of just has to heal on its own and you have to give it its time to allow it to. Cause if you don't, your risk at, you know, another injury to the same leg is like stupid high. Now, if he would have like broke it. Yeah. He probably would have been out all season.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, shoot. Ooze, Poku, JRE, like,
yeah,
we need them all back, man. Like, JRE, like, that's the guy that I like circle, like, you know, obviously Chet, but like, after that, JRE, like, if we had JRE tonight, I think that we could have theoretically won this game because, you know, you mix it up inside a little bit with Sabonis. Obviously, he's gonna be good for some rebounds.
He's been out for so long,
I know, man. The word on the, you know, the latest word is Degnault said that he's not even to the point where he could be considered day to day yet. So yeah. I don't know what's going on with that. It makes me sad.
Had to be that bad a one, man. It was probably damn near a break if he's still sitting out that bad with some ligament damage or something. Cause there's no reason not to have him on there. It's either that, or we're playing our old tricks from last year where it's like, oh yeah, he has a stubbed toe. We're going to sit him out for the next six games. But yeah, oh man, J-Rob against Sabonis would have been just beautiful. Imagine J-Rob just being able to do pick and pops and not have Sabonis just stand in the paint the whole game. And just the switches, oh gosh, I'm starting to get happy again. Let's stop it.
Yeah, yeah. The switches would have been great off of Sabonis's illegal screens. But anyways, all right, boys. Well, I think I've talked to them about as much about this game that I want to. Did you guys have anything else you want to bring up?
Just one small thing. I hate you, Tony Brothers.
I knew exactly where that one was going. You could ask me what Jerry wanted to say, and I would have told you that.
Yeah, see, that's why me and Cone are like wrong. We have ESPN together.
I let my guard down.
Yeah. Just like I did with my dad.
Oh, God.
I guess really just the last thing is Tony Brothers. Man, come on. It's ridiculous. I got you, Jerry.
Thanks, Cone. No, and I have full faith that we're going to get a dub in Denver, though. Book it
that
right now.
That would be a huge win to beat. They're basically tied right now with the Celtics for the best record in the NBA. Yeah, they're 33-13. Celtics are 34-12. So one game behind them for the best record in the league. It'll be interesting. Their shooters have been ridiculous this whole season. I mean, Jokic is – What did he put up today? He might be up to averaging a triple double. He's going to do it, by the way. He's going to join Russ as like one of the three players to ever average a triple double. It's going to happen. So,
No, he definitely will.
He's at 9.9 right now. So, I think we always do a good job against Jokic, but Aaron Gordon's the one I'm worried about. Every time we play the Nuggets, Aaron Gordon just destroys us. So
he's been so good this year, though.
Yes, he's been like basically like a borderline all-star. I don't know if y'all saw the
don't even say it, because I would just want to punch him in the face for even saying that.
The NBA was like, or like Aaron Gordon said, I'll do the dunk contest if I'm an all-star, is what he said.
Oh, man.
You had your chance in Orlando, jerk off. Get out of here. You're not even that good. You just get to have space because of everybody else. But this Thunder team does – how many times have we lost two or more in a row? Like, it hasn't happened that often this season, it doesn't feel like. I know we – like, beginning of the season it did, but ever since, yeah, like, 10 games in, yeah, we haven't lost back-to-back games in a while, it feels like.
Yeah.
So I'm running the percentages there and gonna say that we're gonna get this dub.
I like it. All right, well, let's close out kind of looking a little bit to the future here. So next Thursday is when I fly into OKC. Connor, are you flying in Thursday?
Yeah, I'm getting there Thursday around like 2. So yeah,
but I'm getting in around like 1:30. So
yeah, so go. What I'm thinking, Dylan, is we might just hang out there at the airport and greet Cone and Papa Cone as they're coming into the airport.
All right. So what you're saying is they get a better greeting than me. I see how it is.
You get to see Nina first. So get the hell out of here, dude.
There you go. There you go. Get to see Niners.
Yep.
All right. That works. What was I going to say, though, Fred? Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyways, Thursday, next Thursday, you know, that's when me and Cone are both arriving at OKC. But it is also when All-Star starters are going to be announced on TNT. Cone, you have your finger on the pulse of the NBA more than anybody on this podcast. Obviously, there's been some national guys come out on their podcast and on television shows and mm-hmm. say that Shea deserves to be a starter. Bill Simmons said, I'm putting it in a Sharpie. Zach Lowe agreed with him. What do you think, man? Do you think Shea has a shot to be a starter on Thursday?
0%. There's not even a slight shot. As much as he may be, you know, deserving to be in that conversation alongside like Steph and Luka, he's not going to have the votes. I mean, Steph and Luka are so far ahead vote wise, and that makes up 50% of the vote. They've got a lot of respect from national media and stuff like that too. So Shea will 100% be an all-star. Like, I don't even think that's a question.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would put it at like, I think it's like literally 0% that he ends up being a starter. I think it's going to pretty comfortably be Curry and Luka there in the backcourt. And I think Shea will be like the third, fourth guy on there, like right next to John Morant.
Yep.
That burns me up that he's going to be under Ja, because I think that Shea's been better than Ja this year.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing is they don't like, I'm glad they don't say like, this is our fourth guard or anything like that. So that's helpful. And I think, you know, it'll be still cool to see Shea. I hope they actually do, like, because they haven't been selling all-star jerseys for like most players recently. I'm hoping there is an opportunity to get an all-star jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least like some type of shirt for Shea, because a few years ago when he should have made it the year over Mike Conley, all-star jerseys were super nice. And I really wanted to get a Shea all-star jersey that year, and he didn't make it. So whatever. I'm not mad. I'm not upset about it.
Dude, Thunder Nation will buy the crap out of that jersey.
Yeah, they will.
I got an outside hope. I'm going to give a 1% chance that, you know, maybe somebody has a fetish for Shea basketball and they want him to be a starter. So that's my hope. But, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, like I said, like you said, you know, third or fourth guard. I remember back when Russ didn't make it as a starter, but he was like the very first guy announced on the reserve squad. It's like, that's gonna be Shea, and that's gonna give me vindication. I'll be okay with that. Next year he'd be a starter.
So. They are still doing the same format where they pick teams and stuff too, right?
Yeah.
I'm also very curious to see, like, because LeBron's basically locked in as a captain, but Giannis overtook KD in the voting. So we'll see which one of them is the captain for the Eastern Conference. But yeah, I'm really curious to see where Shea gets drafted, like off that bench, because I think it'll say a lot about kind of how people view. And I know there have been a subsection of Thunder fans that have been talking about like, oh, KD back to OKC someday. So if he's a captain and he picks Shea pretty early, it'll only add the fuel to that fire.
Hey, we know KD's a fan of his game. You know, he talks about him as a.
We know Jerry's a fan of Kevin Durant and Tony Brothers.
God, I know, and I actually said this Now, I didn't put it out there in the universe, but I was having a conversation with somebody at work. I was like, yeah, like if he wants to like come on down and not like take all of our money and hang out for a season or two, I'm completely down with it at this point. Do I still hate your guts and think that we could have won, you know, a ring the very next year? Absolutely. But
we would have 100% won the next year. Al Horford comes into town. We have Russ, Oladipo, Al Horford, Kevin Durant, Steven Adams.
You have all the pieces to still go trade for Paul George and Carmelo.
You do have all the pieces. God, imagine that type of squad. You put Russ, PG, Kevin Durant,
Horford, and Steven Adams, or Andre Robertson still there. Like, come on, dude.
Oh, yeah, it's over.
Resign Waiters.
It's fine. We don't need Al Horford as a free agent signing. We have Isaiah Joe. We don't need him.
No, we could have just brought back Derek Fisher and still won. And he was retired already. So,
If you think about it, that Thunder team, and like the 2016 Thunder team, they were an Isaiah Joe away from beating the Warriors. That's all I'm saying.
Pretty much. Well, or a nuclear game six by Clay away, like him not doing that away from.
Isaiah Joe matches him shot for shot, in my opinion.
I thought Isaiah Joe and Herder was going to go shot for shot tonight for a second.
Man, yeah. Kevin Herder is the biggest fucking bum. I swear to God. Like,
I love Herder, dude.
I can't stand him, dude.
He's really good. He's really good.
Kayvon, baby.
No, his three is nice. Like, I can't even, like, hate on that. But, like, if you're an opposing team, why are you not trying to get the mismatch on him the whole game? Because he could not guard his way out of a wet paper bag. Like, he just can't. There were so many times where he was just fouling and the calls weren't, you know, happening for us, of course, because Tony Brothers was officiating the game. But,
I even got the Tony Brothers counter going.
Yeah. Oh,
it's at least at 12 now.
Yeah. No, it's higher than that.
Tony Brothers, 13.
Yeah. There we go. No, I hate Kevin Herter. Hate him with the Hawks. Hate him here.
Just, you hate him as much as Tony Brothers?
No. Okay. Absolutely not.
I'm glad we have 14. A scale here. So
yeah, it's like my dad is up here, right? Tony Brothers is somewhere like right 15. Below that. Yeah, Legos on the floor are right below Kevin Herter. So yeah, it's definitely a.
Where does Kevin Durant rank on that scale?
He's in between, like the Legos. And Tony Brothers, like closer to Tony Brothers, though.
But you have Herder in between the Legos.
I'm sorry, Herder. I said that backwards. I'm sorry. I meant Herder and which, because I legit just, there's some players out there that I just cannot stand. Trey Young's in that scale too, somewhere. I'm just buck nasty with my hating tonight.
Yeah, no, I think if KD is the captain, I think that he takes Shea first. I think if Giannis is the captain, I think LeBron takes Shea first, because I just go back to that screen grab when Shea hit that half court shot or that logo three in LA when LeBron just like staring at it going in.
Yeah. You
know, just standing out. And like, I mean, I don't know. Giannis is weird. Giannis is like one of the most different superstars we've ever had in like major sports. So who knows what Giannis is thinking? He could go take Shea for all we know.
He drafted it doesn't matter. Team LeBron's going to win. Like KD and Giannis, both of them have gotten the opportunity to draft. They are just, LeBron just washes any of the other all-star captains in these drafts. It's not, I don't think he's lost yet. I'm pretty sure Team LeBron's won every single year.
Well, he watches like every game, right?
He's just, I mean, lay GM. He's been doing this for years. The other guys don't stand a chance.
Ain't that something? He can build an all-star team, but can't build his own team. Ain't that something?
Well, you don't got to deal with the salary cap there, Jerry.
Well, that's true. I mean, you are in LA. You could not have to deal with the salary cap there either, but your ownership is too cheap. So right, not everybody can be the Warriors.
All right, gentlemen. Well, hey, we've gone about an hour. You know, like I said, it was a fun game, and I expect us to come out and crush the Nuggets. Hopefully, Shea is an all-star starter, and me and Cone are going to be in OKC on Thursday. So, Jerry, before we get off here, did we get an extension on that link, or is it dead now?
No, we got to extend it to next Thursday. I couldn't tell you what time Thursday, so preferably try to get your tickets like before Thursday.
Yeah.
There's still some up in Loud City that are available, and there are still some in the lower bowl available. So $83 for the lower bowl, $16 for Loud City, which includes that group photo with all of us. I'll be striking my prison pose. I did it whenever me and Cone sat courtside.
Okay. Is that still your Twitter banner?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yep. But you'll be able to do the half court shot after the picture, which is going to be really cool for your chance to win Thunder tickets that are courtside or really, really, really close to courtside, one or the other. And what's really, really cool about it, I just got some more updates. We're going to be like the last group. So we're going to be able to like kind of take our time after the game, right? So there's going to be no rush from you folks that are going to be up in Loud City to get down there. We're all just going to go ahead and meet down in the lower bowl sections. More details to come on that, on where we're going to meet and whatnot. But this is going to be a great event. I have been trying to like get it set in stone for like a pregame venue. At this point, they're just not communicating. So we're just going to go in there like a bunch of rabid seagulls and just go do whatever the hell we want.
Mine.
Yeah, pretty much. So if you want to come hang out, we're going to be going to the parlor. I'm thinking around 2:30 to 5:30.
Because I want to be there when the doors open.
Yeah. We'll be there when the doors open. I know how exciting you'll be for that.
Dylan, have you ever been to OKC?
Yeah, I went 3 years ago. We actually played the Nuggets. It was the Russ PG year. It was the first game they wore the green Native American jerseys.
Yep.
Those
were so nice.
Yeah, we lost those back. Like 20, but PG had like 30 something.
No, that was, yeah, I remember that game sucked. But yeah, that was the first time I got to meet Dylan face to face. So no, it's going to be a great time, man. We got another one of our unit members driving up from San Antonio that'll be in town about 1 to 2 o'clock.
Metamoles.
Yep. So it's going to be a great time, guys. So if you have the chance and the means, it's tax season also. So I know some of y'all got kids out there getting that child tax credit. Spend some of it to come hang out with us because it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, man, I got 5 more tickets bought today, so I think we're up to around 70 in all, which is just like a phenomenal turnout.
Yeah,
let's keep it going. Like, we got like 5 more days to get some tickets sold. Let's get it crack-a-lacking, baby. So,
yeah.
All right, boys, I think that is all we got. Obviously, that link is still on our Twitter at OKC.Thunder. It's the pinned tweet. The next time you will be hearing us, we will be having Dan Favalli of Bleacher Report and the Hardwood Knocks podcast. If you follow Dan on Twitter, he's very complimentary of the Thunder, Shea, Giddy. Like, he's a super fun guy, and he knows his hoop, so I can't wait to talk to him. And then the next podcast you will hear will be a live podcast of the 6 of us that will be in OKC. It's going to be the first ever live podcast with more than half of the unit together, so definitely want to tune into that. And yeah, other than that, I think that's it. So on behalf of myself, Jerry, and Cone, I hope you guys have a great night. God bless. Hoop when you can. And as always,
thunder up.
Thunder up.
Thunder up.
And don't light the beam.
Hey, Shitani Brothers.
Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder.
Thunder up!
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.